Good afternoon, Miss Flamino.
Hi.
You've made a reference several times to being a little bit nervous. Is that because of the case or because you've had a prior negative experience in a courtroom?
The only time I was in court was when I got a divorce at 22.
That wasn't a positive experience.
No.
Let me backtrack a little bit on some of the items that Mr. Pantone examined you on. When you said in deposition, now isn't it true, Miss Flamino, your deposition was taken back in November of 2001?
Yes.
So your deposition was taken much closer in time to the events than today, correct?
Correct.
Do you feel that your nervousness about testifying is affecting in any way your ability to recall things real quickly?
Yes.
When you said that you had been promoted to HR manager in or about March of 2000, and Mr. Pantone asked you if you were the highest-ranking HR person, isn't it true that at that point in time, you were the only person?
Objection. Leading.
In March of 2000, were you the only person at Illumina who held a title which included the words human resources?
Correct.
When you said John Stulpnagel assumed the title of VP of HR, did you mean literally he held the title or simply he performed the functions?
Objection. Leading.
Sustained.
To the best of your knowledge, did John Stulpnagel ever formally hold the title Vice President of Human Resources?
No.
With respect to one of the passages read from your deposition, Mr. Pantone read some of your testimony on page 69, and this related to whether or not you had any conversations with Jay Flatley concerning performance problems or Tony Zarnik's absences from the office. Do you remember Mr. Pantone reading that in?
Yes.
Let me read the very next series of questions that were asked by Mr. Pantone at deposition, but which he did not read here in court.
I'll object to her using the deposition transcript in this fashion. This is her witness.
Pardon?
This is her witness.
She's been impeached, so I think now she can be rehabilitated, if that's possible.
Page 69. Actually, let me just... I'll back up with Mr. Pantone's passages at 68, line 19. Well, as of May 4th, 2000, had you had any conversations with Jay Flatley regarding any performance problems on the part of Tony Zarnik?
Specifically with Jay Flatley, is that what you asked me?
I think I did.
Okay, not to my knowledge.
Page 69, line 1. As of this date, had you spoken to Mr. Flatley regarding Tony Zarnik's absences from the office?
To Jay Flatley, no.
Or what you perceive to be his lack of work ethic?
Not to Jay Flatley.
Now, the questions that weren't read here, who had you had discussions with as of that day?
Your Honor, this isn't rehabilitating. I was asking her specifically about Flatley's testimony that she spoke to him about. He said she did, she said she didn't. It's the only section, the only purpose I read that for. Conversations with other people is not rehabilitating.
I'll do it without reading the deposition testimony. With respect to... Let's put up the exhibit which was being used during this examination. It's Exhibit 206. Miss Flamino, you testified on Mr. Pantone's examination that you were not sure whether you were one of the people that he was referring to in this memo that said two individuals informed him that Tony Zarnik had a historical pattern of leaving the facility, right?
Correct.
Had you expressed those concerns about Tony Zarnik's pattern of leaving the facility to anyone other than Jay Flatley?
Objection. Hearsay.
What portion of it again are you referring to?
Mr. Pantone on his examination highlighted this. I've been informed by two individuals that you have a historical pattern of leaving the facility. Miss Flamino testified that she does not know whether she is one of the individuals who was being referred to in this memo by Mr. Flatley. Then in reading...
I think you can ask her about this.
Okay. So you don't know whether Mr. Flatley was referring to you here?
Correct.
But had you expressed your concerns about Dr. Zarnik's pattern of leaving the facility for long periods to anyone else?
Yes.
To whom had you expressed those concerns?
To John Stulpnagel.
Do you have,
and other people, too.
Do you have any knowledge, one way or another, whether John Stulpnagel communicated those concerns, your concerns, to Jay Flatley?
I don't know that.
Now let's go to the fact that there were some severance discussions ongoing, at least as of early May. Correct? And you were aware of those?
Yes.
Do you have any knowledge one way or another why Tony Zarnik and Jay Flatley were discussing severance?
No, I did not.
Did you have any information as to whether Dr. Zarnik had resigned?
No, I did not.
Did you have any information as to whether or not Jay Flatley had decided to terminate him at that point?
No.
All you knew is that they were discussing severance?
Correct.
And did you know at any time while Tony Zarnik was with Illumina that he was claiming to have been discriminated against in any way?
No, I did not.
Now, in part of the direct examination, you mentioned that from time to time you audited personnel files.
Correct.
Did you audit Tony Zarnik's personnel file at any time?
Yes, I did. One Sunday I was in doing a complete audit of all the employee records. So I had I was in John's office at the time, and I had the files spread out and audit sheets. I was going through them, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and Tony did show up at that point, and he asked me what I was doing, and I told him I was doing an audit of the employee files. And Tony got very, very concerned at that time and very nervous and was very flustered that I was in the files. And in particular, I was into his file. And enough so that he asked me for his file, which I gave it to him. And then he went away with it and came back. And I thought it was strange because his reaction was so strong. I showed him my audit list and everything I was doing and pointed it out to him.
So you confirmed with him the reason you were reviewing his file?
Correct.
Were you reviewing other files?
I did all employee files. It was a big job. It took me all Sunday afternoon.
Now, Ms. Flamino, Mr. Pantone didn't ask you about your educational background or work history background. I'd like you to summarize it very quickly for the jury so they can have a sense of who you are and what you've done before joining Illumina.
Yes. I have a BS in criminal justice, and so I worked with neglected and abused children for the County of San Diego for 6 years as a lead worker there. Then I also have a master's in philosophy, and I taught philosophy and religion at the university college level for 15 years. I've done some traveling, and then I worked in the office environment for a couple of years prior to joining Illumina.
And you joined Illumina December of 98?
Yes.
What was your employee number?
Number 9.
So it was still a small company.
Very small.
So when you joined Illumina, the company had already moved to its first address on Town Center Drive?
Correct.
Did you have any opportunity to personally observe Dr. Zarnik's work ethic?
Oh, yes.
What did you observe?
Well, from the very beginning, Tony had a different work ethic, or maybe I would say no work ethic. It seemed that from the very beginning, he alienated himself, or I should say the chemistry department, against like molecular biology and administration. He would try to, his actions I thought were very divisive, because with our company, and it's a biotech, you have all these sciences coming together, so you have to work as a team, as a group. And Tony was always saying that chemistry, I can say this, was like the redheaded stepchild of the company. And he felt that he was not treated fairly, whether really...
Let me stop you there. He said he felt he and chemistry weren't being treated fairly. When do you remember him first expressing that view?
From the very beginning of my employment. So I would say into January.
Of 1999?
Correct.
What did you... In terms of your personal... Again, focusing on personal observation... How did you see Dr. Zarnik spending his days when he was at Illumina?
He sat in the office. My cubicle was the doorway to his office for the first couple of months. 3 months that I worked there before he moved into the big room. Do they know what the big room is?
They do.
And he would come in late. I didn't hear him engaged in any scientific conversations. There weren't meetings going on in his office. The only time... One of the times I did hear him talking on the phone, he was actually ordering or trying to order jewelry for his wife. If anything, you'd hear him talking like he was at a computer screen going, sweet, or coughing, or grumbling, or grunting. When he moved into the big room, his computer screen was very obvious, and he'd have, like, Travelocity up. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know when somebody is working or not working. If you saw my desk and everybody else's desk, we had piles of work. I mean, I had piles on the floor. It's the proverbial startup. Tony's desk was pretty much clear all the time. If he emailed anybody or asked us to do anything work-wise, it was always, especially when John and Mark were out of town. He'd come in about 10:30 and email everyone to take the whole company out to lunch at Jasmine, which would be for a couple of hours, and he'd pay for it. And he would be very divisive at these times, saying things like, well, if he ran the company, it would be a much more fun place to work. He would take this opportunity to make cracks about how John was cheap, I'd like to say frugal, and that how Mark was just running the show.
How early do you remember him expressing these views?
Again, in January.
So as of January, he was expressing to you and others?
Correct.
That he felt that John and Mark were running the show?
Right.
And he was critical of the way in which they were allegedly doing so?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing about Tony's work ethic, or lack of it, is that what he wanted to do for the company was to be like a goodwill ambassador. And I'm thinking, this guy is in La La Land. We need a chief scientific officer. We need a VP of chemistry. We need somebody bringing our intellectual property through the steps of research and development. He needs to be developing the chemistry department. He needs to be setting up things to help get us going.
What sort of things do you remember him doing that seemed to you to evidence his desire to be a goodwill ambassador?
Again, the lunches, where he'd take us all to Jasmine for dim sum. He would email people because he bought a couple of boats. We had a reflecting pond in between our two buildings, about this deep. So he bought a couple of motorboats. So he'd email everybody at 5 o'clock to go down and take a break, and they'd run the boats around the lake. In the earlier days, too, we would break for popcorn about 6 o'clock every day and everybody would debrief. He would always be there for that.
Let me touch upon a couple of other topics. I'm limited in time. Were you personally present when Dr. Zarnik made a comment to other Illumina employees suggesting that John Stulpnagel had been indicted?
Yes.
Tell us what happened.
I'm not sure if you are familiar with an online subscription called BioWorld, which is like this 6-7-page magazine you get daily. And it's just news on biotech industries. In April, I think it was April, I don't have the date in my head, I'm sorry, I'm not very good with dates sometimes, we made the cover of BioWorld. You know, because that was my job to download this, so I see Illumina on the front page. So I printed it out, and I ran into the big room, and I said, you know, I just shouted out at the door, hey, everybody, we're on the cover of BioWorld. And you could feel the excitement rising. But then Tony stood up and popped off. What, has John been indicted? Like, the whole room just went dead silent. And it was horrible. It was terrible. I went and told John Stulpnagel immediately what happened. I was crushed.
So when you went in, did you feel that it was a high point, a good news moment?
Oh, I was ecstatic. I couldn't contain myself. I blurted it right out in the middle of the room.
Dr. Zarnik described this in his direct testimony as a joke. Did anyone in that room laugh?
No, it went dead silent.
Did Tony Zarnik laugh at his own joke?
I believe so.
And you then reported to John Stulpnagel that this had occurred?
Correct.
Now, another claim that Dr. Zarnik has made is that he was cut out of key business activities and decisions after he had made some disclosure of his history of depression. Did he ever do or say anything? Let me ask you, to your own personal observation, apart from Tony Zarnik's own suppositions that John and Mark were running the company from the beginning in January of 99, to your own observations, did you actually see him being cut out or left out?
No.
Of business activity and decisions?
No.
Did he ever do anything that corroborated his belief that he was being cut out?
He thought he was being cut out, and...
How do you know that?
Well, where my cube is sitting, and it used to be in Tony's office, that turned into a conference room.
After he moved to the big room?
Right, after he moved to the big room. So I was sitting typing and I could feel somebody behind me. So I turned around. I had to turn around that way. I turned around and looked, and Tony has his ear to the conference room door, and I'm looking at him, and he said to me, "Doesn't it drive you nuts not to be in there?" And I said, "Can I say hell? Am I allowed to? Can I say hell in court?"
"You just have."
I said, "Hell no, I got enough on my plate, you know?" And he just had his ear. It was very unsettling. We kind of walked away after that.
Sort of weird?
Very weird. Very strange.
Now, you testified on direct by Mr. Pantone that you first became aware that Dr. Zarnik claimed to be discriminated against on the basis of depression only after the lawsuit was filed.
Yes, the only time I knew Tony was claiming discrimination was after we received the lawsuit.
Now, without divulging anyone's names, were you aware of any circumstance in which there was another Illumina employee who suffered from mental illness and who was—
Yes.
Don't mention his name in court. Let me ask you this. Did you personally do anything to try to keep this person at Illumina?
Absolutely. We all did. Myself.
Who else did?
John and Mark, as far as I know.
John Stulpnagel?
Absolutely. And we were trying to work it out so that he would not leave.
And this is somebody who you all believed to suffer from depression?
Yes.
And in fact, did Dr. Zarnik also make some efforts with this individual?
I've been informed of that, yes.
But you don't have any firsthand knowledge that he did?
No.
Ms. Flamino, you indicated that you did not learn about Tony Zarnik's allegations of discrimination until the lawsuit was filed, correct?
Correct.
If you had known during his employment, would you have investigated it?
Calls for speculation.
Absolutely.
Hold on. Sustained.
I'll move on then. You worked with Tony Zarnik from the time you joined in December of 98 until he was terminated in September of 2000, correct?
Correct.
Did you have a number of opportunities to interact with and speak with Tony Zarnik?
Yes, absolutely. As that email showed, he'd asked me to go for walks, he'd take me to lunch periodically, and he would do that, I believe, for confidential reasons. So he had ample opportunity to tell me, and he wasn't quiet about things.
So from your own experience, if Tony Zarnik had a concern or a complaint, did he hesitate to voice them to you?
Objection. Calls for speculation.
This is asking what happened.
Overruled.
Did he hesitate to voice his complaints and concerns to you?
No.
Now, there has been testimony earlier in the case about Dr. Zarnik being in the break room at times during the day, and on examination by Mr. Pantone, there was a suggestion that Dr. Zarnik was holding scientific meetings in the break room using a whiteboard to talk about science. Did you ever see him doing that?
No, I know he used the break room to... He would have... They signed their lab book, so signing your lab...
Witnessing?
Yes.
But do you remember seeing him lecturing or using a whiteboard to explain scientific concepts?
Ever?
To the best of your recollection?
Yeah, I would think once or twice in all that time.
Did you ever see him doing anything else in the break room that was inconsistent with work?
Yes, he was sleeping on the couch one afternoon.
And are you able to estimate... Did you simply walk in and see him sleeping and leave, or was he there for an extended period?
It was an extended period of time, because one person saw him, and then they came out and got me. So then I went in and looked at him, and his shoes were off and everything, and he was just sleeping on the couch, kind of almost snoring. And this is the break room, so it's in the middle of our company, and he was in there long enough so that I think there ended up 4 admin people in there. Connie Brick and I went back and got my camera, because I'm kind of like the company photographer, too, at that point. And I came back in and took a picture. I might have taken even 2 because I thought the flash would wake him up, but it never did. We kind of giggled and left.
He still didn't wake up?
No.
Now, you mentioned a photographer, which brings up another issue. There was some testimony in another witness's presentation about a company-wide picture that was taken
And Dr. Zarnik said that when he received the photograph, it was a later taken photograph that excluded him. Let me ask you, do you remember, is it accurate that there were two pictures taken of the employees of Illumina for 1999?
Absolutely. It was our IPO picture.
Why is it that?
2000.
Oh, 2000?
Yes, IPO picture.
Why is it a second picture was taken?
Because the first ones were horrible and I gave the photographer a second chance to take a better picture.
What was horrible about them? First, did you personally observe the pictures taken in the first session?
Yes.
What was wrong with them?
She took them across the pond, so we were really tiny and the light was bad. So we went to take more close-up pictures.
And who is it that sent Dr.? Now, Dr. Zarnik says he had ordered a copy of this picture?
Yes, I had his money still on my desk.
How much money?
I think it was $10.
Did you intend in any way, by sending that picture to him, to hurt his feelings?
If it wasn't me, it was Claudia. But we did send him that because I had his money. I didn't even think about it. I was just trying to follow through and with what Tony had requested.
And you sent him a copy of the second photo?
Absolutely not. In fact, I didn't even realize what I had, that he was in the first picture and wasn't in the second picture until it was brought up at an issue in court. So no, not at all.
Now, Ms. Flamino, there was some testimony about Dr. Zarnik on his own initiative holding these new hire orientation meetings.
Yes.
Did you ever personally attend any of those?
Yes, I attended the second one. The reason was that by this time, well, pretty early on, but especially by that time he started holding these, I didn't trust Tony. I knew he didn't have Illumina's interest in his heart. So I attended the second one, and in sitting there, I realized what Tony was doing was putting on the Tony Zarnik's Illumina show. And enough so that he even said to all these new people that he personally hired John Stulpnagel.
Was that an accurate statement, or was it a misrepresentation?
Objection. Lacks foundation.
Sustained.
Do you know whether Zarnik hired John Stulpnagel?
Same objection.
I think you can answer that yes or no.
She started in 1999, Judge.
I know, based on your own personal knowledge.
Based on my own personal knowledge, I know that Tony Zarnik did not hire John Stulpnagel.
You heard him make a representation to new hires that he had done so?
Correct. And when these new hires would ask Tony questions about the company and about the technology, Tony couldn't even hear those questions. He had such an agenda that he would just go back and answer some other question about him.
Object and move to strike. Speculation.
Sustained.
Did Dr. Zarnik, in the orientation meeting that you personally attended, did any of the attendees ask Dr. Zarnik any scientific questions?
Yes, they did.
Did he answer those questions?
No, he did not.
And what did he do instead of answering those questions?
He would just talk about himself.
Finally, Ms. Flamino, you were asked about the termination meeting and the reasons given by Jay Flatley. By Jay Flatley verbally during that meeting, and you testified he told Tony Zarnik he was not meeting his goals, correct?
Correct.
Isn't it true that Jay Flatley, whether you were present when he gave it or not, you saw Exhibit 334? Let's put it up again briefly. Ms. Flamino, this is the termination memorandum from Jay Flatley. You've seen this document before?
Yes, I've seen it before.
And do you see that it states that it talks about the assignment of goals, and it states, since that time, your progress towards the goals has been insufficient?
Correct.
Do you know whether Jay Flatley mentioned progress towards goals when he was verbalizing to Dr. Zarnik in that meeting, or do you just not remember?
I believe progress was used.
In this termination meeting, what was Dr. Zarnik's demeanor like?
Well, Tony and I met at the door going into Jay's office, and he was very, very flippant. Like, stepped aside so I could walk in, and he goes, "Oh, it's such a pleasure always to see you, Deborah," and very, very flippant. It was like a big joke to him. Jay was very, His demeanor was very, very professional, very directed to the point. And to me, it's the first time I ever sat in any termination where senior management was involved. And I was so impressed with how Jay handled it. It only took perhaps 10 minutes for the whole thing.
At any time during this termination meeting, did Jay flatly threaten Tony Czarnik in any way?
No, his voice never went above the level of mine right now.
Aside from volume of voice, did he ever say anything that in words alone was threatening to Tony Czarnik?
Not at all. Not at all.
My time is up, so I'm going to have to stop.